This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Pioneer, where we bring you slices of aftermarket reality to help you on your perpetual learning curve. Thanks for being here. Two technicians at a dealership decided to start their own shop, their own business. George and Jason, they dove headfirst into business together with some major learning curves during their journey. Like so many green owners, and by green I mean new and inexperienced in running a business, they thought they had all the answers and didn't need help from the outside. Does that sound familiar? Hey, find out how that changed and why it was a major turning point for them when they got help. Hey, thanks to our partner Napa for providing you this episode. You know, the Napa Expo, it's rescheduled and coming July 18th through the 21st, 2022. Put that on your calendar. Napa is dedicated to putting on a safe and valuable in-person experience, as always. We'll be following all appropriate protocols to ensure that all attendees enjoy their experience safely. And we hope to see you in Las Vegas with Napa, July 18th through the 21st, 2022. Hey, don't forget, we go live multiple times each week. Head to my YouTube channel to catch up. If you missed a show, just search on YouTube for Carm Capriotto. Every episode can give you an important edge. A warm welcome to George Gilligan and Jason Garish from Revolution Motorworks in Finksburg, Maryland. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing? Thanks for having us.
I am great. We're at the ATI Super Conference 2021, Amelia Island in Florida. I'm having a blast meeting a lot of great people. How was the show so far?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been great.
Amazing, definitely, yes. Great. I just can't believe all the stuff that I stumbled upon. And, you know, I'm a perpetual student, so I love to learn. Did you learn anything cool?
Oh, I've learned tons.
Give me one. Give me one takeaway that you may go home and implement.
My biggest takeaway was I'm the biggest enemy. I'm the biggest enemy of my success.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get out of my own way. I need to definitely focus more and get down to business. You know, I watched the round table with Brian Gossel and Pat Connell.
Mm-hmm.
They're just awesome. You know, I've heard about them. You know, I know what they've done. And now that you see them and you hear it from the horse's mouth and you see that they're real people, they're not some, you know, superstar shop owner. They definitely have the same problems we do. And they got down to business and now they have an amazing shop.
Yeah.
And we're on our way there.
Good for you. I love that attitude. I've interviewed Brian Gossel a bunch of times. Great guy.
Right.
And how about you, Jason? What's your big takeaway?
How to become an effective leader, still learning. This is a definite needed week away from all the hustle and bustle and the issues we've had over the past year with COVID. Aside from that, I don't know, we've grown as leaders, but we definitely need a little bit more of a push, and ATI does that for us.
Your partner, George, just admitted he needs to make a change. You guys share that level of transparency all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I want to hit something right away in this episode, and that is, do you guys have a partnership agreement?
Well, sort of. Nothing written.
We did an episode while we were here about that. And I have to tell you, I asked Coach Charlene about it, and even though it was involved in a divorce, she is adamant about a partnership agreement. So let me just suggest that to you. Do you have key man insurance on each other?
We do have that. We have parts of it, but we don't have the whole.
Okay.
The whole thing.
You don't have business evaluations done yet or anything?
No.
So what are you going to do when you get home?
Work on that.
Sounds like we got to be
I'm sorry, but you know, what we do here on the podcast is we kind of drop wisdom, insights, and ideas on our audience. And, you know, they're driving down the road, they're on the treadmill, and they're listening to this show. 1,000+ episodes, been doing this for 6 years. My job is to kind of feed those ideas out there to the world. So thank you for at least talking about the fact that you don't, but you do, you need, and maybe we help people. We help some other people get there. Give us a quick highlight on the business, the number of bays and techs. And by the way, how long you been at it?
So we just passed our sixth year in March. We started from nothing. We've got 5 bays, 4 techs, 2 advisors, and we're in the process of expanding to more. We just signed a lease on a new building a month ago. So
Will that be a brand new branded building or a satellite to do more work in?
That's going to be more of a satellite location. We worked really hard on the past 6 years building our brand. We feel as though we've come a long way. We've done a great job doing that. We want to keep focusing on our flagship, if you will, location. It's been fully renovated top to bottom before we got in. We did everything that we saw fit or saw necessary to get taken care of, expand the, enhance the customer experience. Mm-hmm. The new place, it's going to be a little bit more work. So right off the bat, we'd like to do we're out of space, I guess, at this point. So we're planning on doing this with the hopes of, or the anticipation of being able to grow that location as well and then expanding some more.
But as a satellite, you're not going to brand it. You're not going to market it.
The future plan that I see, we start out with the satellite. We take our time getting it to the place we need it to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're on two sides of a busy road. So one shop's on one side, one shop's on the other.
How far apart?
1,000 feet.
Whoa.
So, and this new place has 4,000 square feet, huge parking lot, some office space. So we have a lot more potential there for growth. We don't really work on domestics. We're going to go to the domestic world. We don't do much fleet just because of space. We're going to get into the fleet world. So it's going to open up a lot of doors for us. Just for the future. So that's the game plan, is kind of build it as we go. And then once we're there, we have all the space, we have the guys that want to do that kind of stuff, we're going to go.
Wow. Revolution. Does that signify, is it Euro?
It is, you know, our logo has the German flag colors in it.
Okay.
So, you know, we focus, that's where we came from. We're Eurotechs, you know, worked at the dealership for a long time. Decided we wanted to do our own thing.
Cool. All right. You both dealershipped
together
at the same place?
I was his apprentice. He was
Love this story. Okay. Yep. So you both worked at the dealership and you went out for a beer one night and said, let's open our own shop.
Kayaking.
Yep. Okay.
We talked about kayaking.
Take me back to that. Who asked who and how did you come up with this dream?
He had started talking about it a little quiet in the shop, obviously. Didn't want to ruffle too many feathers. And that's something my mom and family have always been, hey, this is you. You need to do this. At that point, we went out and I was like, I went in. He was like, well, all right, let's do it. And then we were talking to another. And at that point, we were just saying, let's keep it the two of us. And it moved fast. I'll put it that way. We did everything in 6 months.
George, take me back to the first day you opened.
The first day we opened, I remember walking outside, looking down the road like, all right, we're here. We ordered a little banner off VistaPrint, probably like 4x8, and had it on the top of the building. Like, look, they know we're here. Let's get it. We are working nights, weekends, going in there, sweat equity. You know, we were working all day at the shop, come home.
At the dealer.
Go to the new shop and you know, bust walls down and paint and this, that, and the other.
So you kept working at the dealer while you were, if you will, renovating.
Oh, yeah. For like 3 months.
Okay. Did they know?
The last month?
Yeah, we gave a decent amount of notice for him. We both went in to our manager's office, and he joked and was like, oh, man, should I sit down for this? And we were like, you might want to. And we're like, hey, look, yeah, we're going to give our month in. And originally he was a little upset. Where are you guys going? How much did they pay you? Kind of deal. And it was, hey, we're going to go do our own thing. We see a need for it. He was pretty supportive after that. We still talk to him. Still call him boss man.
And what kind of dealership was it?
I was a European, Volkswagen, BMW, Toyota, Subaru.
A dealership with all those brands?
They were different brands. We were in the Volkswagen department.
All right. Okay. Got it. Cool. What I find interesting is 6 years in business. When did you decide to get coaching? How long ago?
Well, we were open probably 2 months and we had somebody knocking on the door. We're about 30 minutes from ATI headquarters. So you get a guy coming in. Who's this guy, ATI, trying to sell us something? We know everything. We've been working on cars for 20 years.
Oh, perfect. I hope everyone heard that. Okay, all right.
But, you know, they came in a few times, and he's like, look, man, it's come to this Saturday, you know, boot camp. And I remember it was actually Chris Jr., Chubby's son, and he was awesome. He was a great salesman, and not such a salesman, but he knew what he was talking about. He knew my pain. Like, he's like, why aren't you doing, we didn't charge shop supplies. Well, we're not going to do that. After that talk, I was like, we're charging shop supplies. How much money are we leaving on the table?
Isn't it amazing though? You know, you hear that you should until someone I don't know if it's, is it higher authority or smarter than you or in an environment of education that takes you back? Why did you decide to do that? Just because someone said it?
Well, we wanted to be, we felt that the dealership took advantage of people. So we wanted to be the nice guys, the cheap guys. The cheap guys is what happens. And you're the cheap guys and then you bring down the whole industry.
The customer won't even know that you, big sign on the building, go to Vistaprint and say, we don't charge for shop supplies. That's kind of crazy, right? Yeah, I know.
One complaint is what we've had.
One.
And that was one person.
In 6 years.
And it was more of a question than, what is this shop supplies stuff, you know? And it was like, oh, well,
they
here's
take
a
that
sign.
Off at the dealer when I ask. It's like,
well. So you got over your, we're going to be cheaper, better, faster than the dealership and hunkered down to say, I got to run a profitable business. And so it was, within your first year, you decided to embrace coaching.
Right. It was.
And so I know people 10, 15 years in, six-figure losses. And then you know, now they're religious and they're saying all kinds of confessions and they're trying to help other younger people to not have that gap in their life.
Right.
What kind of difference did it make? Are you guys profitable right now, 6 years in?
Yeah. I mean, we're not hugely profitable, but we're profitable. I mean, we take a good salary.
Okay.
You know, our employees get paid well. We have health insurance paid for, IRA,
see,
you know, all that stuff.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to attract all kinds of great people.
Right.
That is the goal. That's what we're going to need here shortly.
So technician shortage. You guys got any passion about, you know, how to fill them ranks?
It is an issue. And everybody, if you haven't experienced it yet, trust me, you're going to. I think it's a big issue. I think we need to personally address the younger generation a little bit better. I think we've done a terrible job over the years, dealership wise, to be honest with you, going in completely unexperienced, unprepared, getting thrown to the wolves kind of deal. And I mean, it kills the kids' confidence nowadays, and they don't want to do it anymore.
Let me just make a little side jaunt here. I'm on an advisory panel at a two-year school. Most of the dealerships take the grads, okay?
I agree with that.
Okay, yeah. And we've done the surveys. 50% aren't there after 2 years. Yeah. And they're not in the they don't go to the independents, you know.
They leave.
They leave the industry.
They leave the industry and they go to Department of Transportation, they go to welding, they go to diesel. Everybody's poaching these kids because they know how bad the dealers goof it up. And you've seen that.
We're on a board with the local tech school, and the one dealer that's there is, it's just cancerous, to be honest with you. He doesn't care about the futures. They don't care about the futures. It's a number. All right, he's stopping his class. We'll give him a month. If he doesn't work out, ditch him. And the kid, you know, has worked a couple of years really hard for what he's trying to achieve, and he gets a month to try and show it off. And if not, then they're going into welding or something else, HVAC.
I want to go back to this whole technician shortage, but I also want to ask you, have any plans to put an apprentice?
We actually have one going right now. So we hired a young guy. He worked at a Mercedes dealer, got laid off because of COVID. He came in for an interview and he just had everything that we wanted. He had a great attitude, great work ethic. He fit us. So we hired him. And it's really tough to train guys when you're trying to run a business, you know, like they need to be trained. They need one-on-one time. They need constant, you know, correction, supervision. You know, if he's a young guy and you're working on Mercedes and BMWs, there's some things that you need to know. In the past month, we've hired a master technician, tons of experience. He loves training guys and he's been on that. And that's why we hired him. Was to train the newer guys. And he's like, look, I love bringing guys in. I love walking them through things. Because it's, you know, this business, we know.
Is he a natural mentor?
Yes.
Yes. He likes it. He likes to do it. He gets satisfaction from seeing them get better and grow.
I mean, you guys could be an apprentice machine with a guy like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the ability for it, for sure.
Hey, Carm here. Do you know what your employees' goals are? We'll find out why goal posters help you connect to your team in a deeper way. Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the NAPA Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the NAPA brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize NAPA and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a pro image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the Napa colors and distinctive Napa signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and Napa are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped Napa Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the Napa Auto Care members site and clicking on the Napa Pro Image link under the Napa Pro Image tab. Or contact your local Napa Auto Parts store. Your servicing Napa store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Building the bench, not besides apprenticing, you need, like you say, you need a tech, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bench is tough. That's not a joke. It's probably one of the hardest challenges we usually always face. I guess everybody in the industry, we've heard about the bench for years. To actually do it is very difficult. In a sense, originally the way I looked at it was to lead these guys on with the hopes of maybe they'll get a job or maybe they won't. Then I got some clarification. Jeff Berman, big shout out.
Yeah.
He...
Is he your coach, by the way?
No, he is not. Charlene. Okay.
Charlene, big shout out. You're awesome.
Okay.
So going from that, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to the bench is, first of all, having a place that you want people to work, that want to work there. You know, if you have a place that everybody hates their job and they want to leave at 5:01, you know, when as soon as the clock dings, you're going to have a hard time with the bench. So, you know, we treat our techs really well. You know, we do lots of stuff for them, you know, besides giving them a great place to work. I mean, we got team building events. We just went bowling. We went to the gun range. We've done all kind of cool stuff with them.
Cool.
And, you know, we have a guy who's super quiet, super reserved, and he tells all his tech friends how great it is. And then when they found out that we're going to expand, we're going to bring some space, he's like, hey, man, in a one-on-one, you know, Jason does one-on-ones, you know, he's like, hey, I got a friend that I talk to all the time about how much I love it here. Give him a call. So, you know, our bench is kind of like the guys that we have on our bench now are self. We haven't looked for them. They found us. So I think that's a key difference there is, you know, yeah, you can go out and you can interview 100 guys and say, well, we're not hiring now. We're hiring in 6 months. Well, you know how that goes. Those guys are looking for a job now. So you need guys that aren't technically looking for a job, that are sick of their job, want to move in to a better place, but they don't want to look for it. You know, they want it to just fall on their lap, you know, and sometimes that happens. And that's kind of what we've got going on now. The guys just fall on your lap because you put out something that they want.
You've invested in your people.
Right.
You've run a company that makes decent money so that you can give them benefits. I'm sure you've got great customers that just drop their keys and say, fix it.
Love them.
Jason just said the okay sign. So that internal referral, you're investing in that internal referral.
Yep. Right.
That's exactly what you're doing. So I'm going to say that after 6 years, you're the preferred shop that people want to come and work at. It was a big side, Jason.
You know, I've never heard it that way. With the story that George just went over, I mean, this is our most reserved technician. He is the most quiet guy we have. We just did goal posters, and he blew us away.
Wow, what did he say?
He wants to learn how to play guitar, to play with his friend that he hasn't played music with in a while.
Wow, cool.
Pay off his fence, just, you know, some monetary ones, mm-hmm. Get better at diagnostic.
Build a race car.
Yeah, build a race car, drift truck. And he has these projects. He just hasn't gotten around to them. So it's instantly, I'm like, oh, I know we're, let's get your drift truck running. And he's like, oh, that'd be awesome. My wife hates it. Da, da, da. And I'm like, well, let's show her. So now he's working on that. And then it came into, you know, what do you like here? Oh, I'm going to tell all my friends about this. I'm like, well, you know, the plans in the future, we're trying to expand. Do you know anybody? And that's where it, you know, the guy I'm talking on the phone, the bench player, is like whispering. He's like, I can't really be on the phone right now. I'm at work, but I really want to talk to you guys. Like Rob, our tech, all he does is talk and rant and rave about you guys. It fell in our lap. I mean, it was that simple.
I don't think that's going to stop.
And that's what we
I
want.
Don't think it will. Yeah. Hearing that,
if you're the preferred shop and you know it because these incidences come up, you guys are going to behave the right way and do all these, you know, that intimacy with your people, setting up the goal posters. Has anyone have a goal poster up about buying a house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our advisor.
Yeah.
And there was a round table here. And one of the round tables was, I mean, I don't know if it was Brian or not. And he says, we've bought this.
Yeah,
we've helped buy this many houses. It was Brian Gossel. Yeah. I think he said we've helped buy five houses because we knew and we helped and we worked. I mean, I care that you buy a house. I care to come to work.
Yeah. Well, our advisor, Shane, he came to us. You know, he was living with his dad. He bought a house. He talked about how he wanted a new truck, just bought a new truck. You know, got an offer from his old boss to come back and run a new store. And he said, I wouldn't go back there. You're out of your mind.
Guys, for the sake of our audience who doesn't say, Carm, what's a goal poster? Mm. Let's tell them.
I love goal posters. I don't know. I do and I guess it can be different or done differently. We do somewhat like a 1, 5, and 10 year goals.
Okay.
Personal and business related, or professional related. A lot of them. You know, pay off my car. Our GS or our apprentice was doing such a good job. We rewarded him, gave him a little bit of a raise in his first 90 days. I think it was. He's just awesome. Such a great kid. He got to go buy his car that he wanted. So we have to check that off now. We presented them all at lunch. We do lunch every Friday with all the guys.
So, but are you asking them to put up a picture of what their goal is? Are there two boxes? You have a wall in the employee room.
So, actually, what I decided to do here at Super Conference is I'm going to pick or piece together a collage of everybody's goal poster. I felt like that'd be a cool idea, and then hang it up.
Cool.
Just so everybody can see each other's goals.
Yeah. I hear that so much that want to buy a Harley? Great. Cut one out. Get it on the toolbox and want you to see it every day. When I come and say hello to you every day or I walk by the shop, I want to be reminded too.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that is just so cool.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't know what they want, I mean, we all just think, oh, they just want money. They just want money. Well, maybe they don't want money. You know, maybe
they just
need
to learn to live within their means too.
Right, right. You know, and a lot of the guys, they don't seem money motivated. They you know, things buy them or money buys them the things that they want, but that's not what motivates them. Getting that money doesn't motivate them. Satisfaction is huge. Yeah. And then they make the money, they get a good job, and they go buy, you know, their boat or their car or their motorcycle, whatever it may be.
Cool, cool. Guys, explain your roles to me. You know, your partners, who's the integrator, who's the visionary? I mean, I know you're going through EOS. I'd love to talk about that in a minute. And because of that, I'd love to find out if you're splitting a role or you're individually having a singular role.
You want to take that
one? So we struggled with this for years. You know, I came out of the shop first. You know, we both, when we started, it was me, Jason, working in the shop. His wife, Jerrica, was an advisor. So it was all three of us, you know, just working all day. We got to the point where we could hire people. Then I came out of the shop first and I could actually work on the business, and that we saw a huge jump. And then, you know, obviously I could do the things in the office and, you know, advertising, marketing, what have you. Then we got to the point where we needed a second advisor. Jason's a salesperson. Jason's the guy that talks to everybody. That's, you know, he fits. So he did that for a while. And it's like, wait a minute, like that's basically working in the shop. You know, you're still in it. So we hired Shane last year.
So to now, replace Jason.
To replace Jason. Okay. And so we could go to Super Conference last year. But it didn't happen.
I love it.
True story.
So then, you know, we came to the point where both of us are out of the shop. And it's like, okay, now what? Now what do we do? So we struggle with who does what and who's responsible for what. You know, I'm telling one guy one thing, you're telling him another. So I think the big turning point was EOS. We kind of said, okay, we need to clearly define what we're going to do, like what we'll see for the future, what we're going to do now.
Where did you pick EOS as, you know, this driver for your company? Did you read the books from Gino? How did it start?
I think it started, well, I know it started from Charlene. She mentioned the book Rocket Fuel.
Okay.
Because we were having this issue. Like, okay, well, who's the visionary? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. So you read it and you got hooked?
Well, it was that, okay, well, he's got all these other books. And then I did the traction. I was
okay.
This is a lot to do on our own. Like, you know, it's a lot. It's a blueprint, but you really need to dig into it to figure out what the ins and outs are and how to do it. So we reached out to an implementer. He came out, did the presentation, and then we're like, you know what? This complements and ATI, it's not separate from them. It's all
It is such a compliment. I mean, with all the coaching that you get, I look at EOS when I read all the books. When I realized was this was the actual, did you say it? I think, George, blueprint.
Yes,
the blueprint of how to be to implement. I says, I'm an entrepreneur. Oh, how do I do that?
Right.
And I'm in a group with a bunch of guys that it was just last week. He says, just came out of our latest L10 meeting, and it was the best we ever had. And I love to hear the sophistication of the involvement of the leadership team in running the business.
Exactly.
It's amazing stuff. So describe the roles to me.
So I'm the implementer. We're kind of like, we both share the visionary seat. We don't have a visionary, pure visionary, according to the definition. But we both have visionary portions and integrator portions. So I'm technically the integrator. Jason's the operations leadership seat. So that encompasses the service department, sales department. Yeah. We don't separate those out for our EOS because we did in the beginning, but we're like, it doesn't need to be that diluted. Yeah. I'm the finance seat. And
Jerrica's HR.
Yeah, Jerrica's going to be HR. We really haven't transitioned her to that role yet.
Okay.
But we've got our start.
You're getting structure.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that cool? 6 years in, young guys. Would you tell us how old you guys are?
I'm 42.
35.
Wow. See? Your future is starting to solidify.
Right.
Exciting.
It's nothing like waiting to make these decisions. It's like, you know.
I'm really big on core values and business culture. How important is that to you guys?
In the beginning, it wasn't. In all honesty, I never heard of it. Didn't know what shop culture was. I knew we came from a terrible, terrible work environment at the dealer. Never wanted to put anybody through that.
But that work environment was part of the culture.
That I found out was terrible culture.
Yeah.
very strong, bad culture. As we progress through ATI, another shout out to Jeff, but you know, he is big into culture and engagement, and not really knowing what culture was, I was completely unfamiliar. I had no idea. I thought we were, we're friends. We got great culture. And then we started getting employees, and then it's, hiring people, and it's, do they fit, or are we going to disrupt everything we've worked really hard for the past 6 years for one person? So it's definitely helped us grow to get the right people at this point.
Yeah, you know instantly when someone's not part of your culture. You know, if you hire somebody and you don't think about culture, you never thought about it, as soon as they're in there for a month, you're like, this guy doesn't fit what we do. When you have a culture, you just never defined it. And that's what our problem was. We had it. We just never defined it. We knew what we didn't want. We knew what we wanted, but we never wrote it down and made it what it is ours. And now we did.
Yeah.
And that didn't fall from the sky. That came from coaching, right?
For sure, yeah. Yeah.
And when you finally got your stride and built your culture, did it just transform you and your business?
Definitely.
It makes you think about everything. It makes you think about, and that's the whole point, is to think about this stuff. Like it's like a filter, you know? If it doesn't match that, it doesn't work.
Did you guys bring your team through that culture process with you?
We're working on that, yeah.
Doing that with the core values, implementing the EOS meetings, leadership meetings.
Got it.
Technicians will be next for EOS implementation, reading books, and discussion.
Young business, young guys, you're attacking your business from a very sophisticated perspective. I can't even imagine what awaits you guys in the future. Because you're doing, you've got the bricks, you got the blocks and the mortar, and you're building one heck of a foundation.
Thank you.
That's one thing, everybody's, I think every round table, I went to ATI for years and, I finally listened after,
Don't you just hear that? Oh, by the way, do you know the number one complaint from any coach? From any company? They don't listen.
Right.
I believe it.
But, that's been huge. We listened to you know, you grab the stuff that you want to listen to. We've heard about core values and mission statement and purpose and all that, but you're just like, yeah, yeah, we'll get to that one day. And it's like, now you finally see the importance of it. And you're like, how did we not do that sooner? But there's tons of shops out there that are going 40 years and they still don't know. So we saw that and saw an opportunity to be better, quicker.
Well, good to meet you guys, George Gilligan and Jason Garish from Revolution Motorworks in Finksburg, Maryland. This was a great episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.